You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and an AEP, Accredited Estate Planner as well, on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online at wdiy.org, and you can also go to the website wdiy.org and look for podcast of prior shows. Just look for Lori Siebert as program host, or for the show itself, Your Financial Choices, and you can find prior shows, lots of different topics, lots and lots of them. So please check that out. Welcome to the show, folks. Today is September 11th, 2013. The markets were mixed today, the Dow closing up at 15,326, the NASDAQ down at 3725, and the S&P closed up at 1689. Last week, we discussed year-end tax planning already. Yes, that's what we did talk about last week. Hopefully I had lots of good ideas for you. This evening we're discussing charitable giving through the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. And it's not just about charitable giving, it's about awareness and awareness of all the programs that are supported in this community. Lots of information, good information, and we're also going to throw in some tax tips for you as we go along. There's so much we have to learn about the organization. Remember, we are live this evening and we're here to take your questions. Judy Ann will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And if you are not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Judy Ann and she will bring it into the studio and we will answer it. The number to call in this evening is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So again, tonight, charitable giving through the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, a foundation that touches many, many organizations in our community. What are they doing in your community? We're going to talk with our guest this evening. Bernie Story is president and CEO of the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori.
Bernie thinks the show's only going to be 15 minutes, folks, so we're going to stretch it out to an hour. Bernie has so much to say. This is a man that I've seen talk about the foundation. He has tons of passion about it, and it's worthwhile for the folks in our community to be aware of this organization and start paying attention because they really do a lot of important things here. So, Bernie, first start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you came to the foundation.
Well, first about myself. I have to say that my third grandchild is due at any hour. So first and foremost, I am a husband, a father, and a very proud grandfather. But I was born and raised in Bethlehem. I attended Bethlehem schools and enrolled at Moravian College and finished my degree there, and upon graduating from Moravian was offered a position in the admissions office with the caveat that if I accept a position, I promise I'll be there for 2 years. And mm-hmm. I accepted the job and I stayed on for 32 years where I had a wonderful career in higher ed administration. I was director of admission, dean of admissions and financial aid, and vice president for enrollment. And then after a long career, I thought it would be a good idea to do something different. And somehow I talked the search committee into hiring me over at the Community Foundation, and I've enjoyed every moment since. It's been a wonderful, wonderful ride.
Well, what a great precursor to, or what is precursor to, a career at the foundation. Yeah. But by being at Moravian College, you learn so much about you know, all the different aspects in the community. I mean, growing up here, obviously, you know a lot about Bethlehem, but when you're actually in it, in that academic world, you also have to be plugged into all different schools and different needs in the community, et cetera. So I could see where that would be a really good marriage. Good. Now, I think there's some confusion for people about what a community foundation is, though, you know, because we often, when we talk about charitable giving, we think, you know, oh, our churches are, you know, the United Way. There are other opportunities. And when we hear foundation, we might think that is something, you know, for the rich and famous. Talk to me about what a community foundation is.
Well, sure. A community foundation is a very valuable, very unique, very different kind of philanthropic tool. Individuals and organizations use a community foundation as a way for them to make a contribution to their charitable interests. What we offer to individuals who want to support charitable organizations is a way for them to do so in a permanent way. I think it's a different kind of philanthropy. It's a different type of giving. But certainly, I guess you're right. When people hear foundation, they think of, you know, very wealthy people sitting around a table and making decisions about what to do. And very often, it's a single source of assets and very narrowly defined areas of grant making. A community foundation is completely different. We're really a collection of individuals, everyday people, very wealthy people from all walks of life who have decided to establish funds at the community foundation as a way to support a wide variety of charitable organizations. It's a really unique and a compelling organization, I think.
And we're going to talk more about how that works and what that looks like. And I just want to emphasize, though, you had mentioned sometimes it is the wealthy who want to establish a means to give. It probably offers them certain privacy and et cetera, but it isn't just the wealthy who can give to the community foundation as well. But the takeaway that I want to start the show with is talking about awareness of the community foundation, and it's a foundation is a charity. It mm-hmm. sounds fancier than the word charity, but it is a nonprofit, a charity. People can make donations to it just like they would any other charity in the area that they like. There are some different limitations, folks, when we look at the tax aspects of it, a little bit of difference, which may or may not impact your giving at all. There's certain limitations if you give cash to a charity. You know, it might be limited to half your page one income. If you give money to a foundation, it might be limited to 30% of your page one income, that deduction. But how often are we really giving 30% of our page one income away? Foundation would love it. A charity would love having half your income. That doesn't happen that often. So that really is something I kind of want to put off the table. But when you make a donation to a charity, whether it's your church or a local nonprofit organization, it will feel and look very similar to community foundation as well, just keeping in mind those little limitations that I mentioned. So bottom line, you can make a donation to the community foundation, right?
That's right. You know, so we are a charitable organization, and as such, we have many individuals who make donations to the community foundation as a way for us to increase our own operations and our own discretionary grant making. But I suspect it's very different. One, I think the best way to describe this is that we're not necessarily a place people give. We're a way that people give. And so we're really not necessarily out there saying, please give to the foundation. What we're saying is, if you want to make a difference to your in your charitable giving, if you want to make a difference and improve the quality of life in the Lehigh Valley, we are another option, a way that you might be able to support these organizations.
I love that. A way to give, and also a way to give to help support the quality of life in our region.
That's right.
In Bethlehem. But people can give more broadly as well, though, too. It's not, you know, they wouldn't be handcuffed to just having charitable intent in the region, though that is your mission. Maybe they want to do a little bit of both. It doesn't preclude them from making a donation through you.
That's absolutely right. We are a place, if you'd like me to go into a little bit more detail, we're a place where philanthropists, individuals, organizations can establish a fund to do both things. Folks can make establish a fund that will be designated to support a local organization and a faraway organization. It's fine.
Okay, good. We're going to talk more about that. Okay. We're going to come up on a break right now. The phone number is 610-758-8810. If you have questions about charitable giving, about the tax implications, savings opportunities, we can talk about that tonight. 610-758-8810. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY, Community Public Radio for the Lehigh Valley. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking with Bernie Story this evening, President and CEO of the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. You need to pay attention here tonight, folks. This foundation is doing a lot of good work in promoting philanthropy in our community and making it land here, giving back to the community through their donors who have a charitable intent and interest in giving back to the community. So if you are someone who's been thinking about doing something, maybe you haven't in the past, and maybe you realize you really would like to do something, and hopefully in a big way, Lehigh Valley Community Foundation is a way for you to have that opportunity. So we're getting more information about this tonight. I think it's maybe something that had been, you know, misunderstood in the past. People think foundation, they don't understand it. It is a nonprofit, and there's ways that you can give through this organization. Bernie, we're going to talk more as we go through the show about the different ways that people can make that happen, mm-hmm. whether they're helping locally in the community and mostly probably in our community, but that would not preclude them from also using the community foundation to help other areas that they may have an interest in helping. But let's first go back to what is the mission of the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation? That'll help set the table a little bit.
Well, you've put your finger on it. I think our mission, very simply put, is to promote philanthropy as a way to improve the quality of life within our region. But our mission's tied, I think, to two distinguishing characteristics of a community foundation. And the first of those two characteristics is our sense of permanence. We're an organization that promotes philanthropy that would establish funds to support organization in perpetuity. So that makes us quite different and unique. If you blend that with the second characteristic, which is our very broad spectrum of charitable interests, we have donors and funds established that range from supporting the arts and culture and history and so forth to the environment and science and technology. So it's that blending of the permanent nature of our philanthropy with the sort of very diverse contributions that make us very unique and fulfills our mission as a broad spectrum funder, if you will.
Now, you said permanence. How long has the Community Foundation been around?
We are 47 years old, so we're looking forward to our 50th birthday in a couple of years. We're excited about that, and we've got some ambitious plans, and we really want to grow. We want to be we think Lehigh Valley has ample room for a community foundation with greater assets and greater relevance and visibility, and so I'm working hard at that.
And you are, and you have a lot of passion around it, which is why I invited you to be on the show, because you got to get this guy started talking about the community foundation and all the good works that are being done, again, through the donors. What are the advantages of a community foundation over other charities?
Well, there's a number of ways in which a community foundation can achieve results that typical charities can't. I think community foundations are known for being a one-stop shop kind of place where people who are interested in providing support to charitable organizations can come to our offices and can first learn insight about the charitable organizations in the Lehigh Valley and beyond, but more importantly, what are the needs in the community, who's doing what, where can there be an impact. So coming to the community foundation means more than just opening up an account. It means more than writing a check. It provides folks an opportunity to come and learn about what's happening in the community. It's my responsibility as the executive officer of the community foundation to know about what's happening in the community.
So you will have already done your homework about a lot of the charities. Now, let me just paint this picture just so I make sure that everyone gets it. A community foundation, let's say I'm a donor. Maybe I don't have children. I have a nice estate. Mm-hmm. I haven't had to use it. You know, sometimes people hang on to their money till the last second mm-hmm. because they're afraid they might need it for, you know, long-term care or whatever. And I'm getting to a point in my life where I have this bucket of money that I don't need. I'm not going to pass it to children, or I don't have children, or they don't need it or whatever. And now I'm charitably inclined and I'm looking for ideas. I could go to the community foundation and say, hey, who in our community has a need? You've already kind of vetted some of those organizations. So in essence, I could give money to the foundation, and the foundation makes the grants or contributions to the charities that I may have identified with you. So you're giving the money through my donation to you to those same charities, but I don't have to write like a million checks. I don't have to be invited by those charities for more donations. So tell me how that works, what that looks like, and your process of having your finger on the charities in the area that need help.
Well, it's clear to me and to our Board of Governors that it's equally important that I meet and talk with folks who are philanthropic and who have the capacity and the interest in supporting charitable organizations. It's equally important that I meet with them as it is that I meet with those folks who are on the streets really doing the good work that these organizations are doing in the Lehigh Valley. And I spend almost an equal amount of time with both ends of that equation. As a quick aside, I can tell you that I have been most impressed by both of these entities. There are some really, really generous people in the Lehigh Valley who care deeply about the quality of life, and their interests are as diverse as the human experience. And those people that have dedicated their lives to what they're doing on to help their community, I just can't tell you how rewarding a job it is to see this.
It makes such a difference in the lives of
it's amazing
kids, arts, sciences, as you were saying.
And my job is to make sure that those two know of each other. So I find myself in the middle of those two things, and it's really a rewarding experience.
Folks, I want to give you the phone number again. If you have questions this evening, the number is 610-868-9000. Did I do it again? 610-758-8810. I apologize, folks. A little tired tonight. 610-758-8810. If you have questions, you can call in live or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. We're talking this evening with Bernie Story. He's the president and CEO of the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. Bernie comes with 32 years of experience with Moravian College and, you know, is probably doing this part of his career for fun.
Yeah, right.
because I am certainly hearing it in his voice and his expression and his passion around the Community Foundation and what it's doing. And I'm sure there are plenty of charities and organizations in our community that have benefited from the relationship with the Community Foundation. And Bernie, if there are people who are on those boards in the area or employees of some of these charities, if they don't have a relationship with the Community Foundation, but they would be interested in having a relationship, is that something that you're open to? Do they just give you a call? Do they go on the internet? Do they look you up on the website?
Absolutely. All of the above. First and foremost, we are wide open to folks having an opportunity for me and come and visit their organization, talk to them about what it is they do, I'd love making those so-called site visits and making new friends in the community. So if there's members of boards of charitable organizations who would like me to learn more about their organization, call us. Please do that. But your question opens up a real exciting opportunity, I think, that's happening at the Community Foundation. We are hosting, as of a few weeks ago, the so-called Community Platform. And this is a web-based information tool that is to be used by both the nonprofit world as well as the private industry and possible donors to exchange information, to learn about each other, and to make sure that the information that is important to philanthropists is accurate, is updated, and is maintained in a fashion that's deliverable and easily read. We've just inherited it, if you will, and we're taking it over. And the rollout of the new look is going to happen within the next couple of weeks. But I really would encourage everyone to get on our website and not only look at us, but also take a look at the Community Platform.
What's the website?
It's www.lvcfoundation.org.
Okay, I'm writing that down. LVC for Lehigh Valley Community, lvcfoundation.org. So I think, again, part of this is awareness in the community. Bernie, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the foundation and different opportunities that folks have. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. Folks, the time now is 6:22 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Okay, welcome back to the show. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We're talking with Bernie Story this evening. He's president and CEO of the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, and I'm very excited and thrilled that we can highlight them this evening to put this awareness on the radar. Bernie has mentioned that when we talk about the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, it's not about giving, it's about a way to give. And they have permanence in the community, permanence for the donor, and they also cover a broad spectrum of giving opportunities across the arts, culture, science. What other categories do you call that, Bernie? I'm not sure. Arts, science, culture,
history
education. There you go. So lots of different categories. They are going to be rolling out in the next couple of weeks a community platform that is going to be available for people to probably learn more, have open dialogue about how the nonprofit world can sync up with donors and philanthropy-minded individuals. So lots of things going on. And that website is lvcfoundation.org, lvcfoundation.org. Bernie, we were talking about a number of different things this evening, and we were going to talk about, I had mentioned earlier at the top of the show about, is someone restricted to just helping, like if they're philanthropy-minded, charitably inclined, and I had said it, because it's a community foundation, we talk about your mission being involved with giving back to the community. Are they restricted if they want to make a donation to just having it provide benefits to people in our region? What if they want to do a little bit of both? So talk to us a little bit about that.
The answer is both.
Yeah,
our discretionary grants are grants that are derived from gifts from the to the foundation, I should say, as well as foundation fees. These grants are restricted to charitable organizations within the Lehigh Valley. There's a few funds that support our charitable, our discretionary grant making that also touch parts of Monroe County and Upper Bucks County. We're happy to serve those communities, but by and large, our discretionary grant making, those grants that are provided in response to an application, are restricted to charitable organizations within Lehigh and Northampton counties. That's one side, but there's another side. The vast majority of our grants, and we made over $2 million in grants last year, and the vast majority of them come from donor-advised funds, designated funds, area of interest funds, which I can talk a little bit about, I'm sure, as the show moves on. These funds are not restricted to any specific area. And in fact, there are some funds at the Community Foundation that do, as your question suggests, they do both, where a fund will be established at the Community Foundation. Again, that one-stop shopping, one fund does it all kind of thing, where I'm familiar with a recent fund that, for example, supports annually both a local church, a church here in Bethlehem, but also St. Jude Research Hospital in Tennessee. So it's really a rewarding experience to be able to see the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation's impact on organizations across the nation, frankly. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
And as far as people who are philanthropic minded, how do they go about getting a contribution to you? Does it have to be cash? What are their options there? Because, you know, so often we have people who are giving cash. When I go to do tax returns, I see a lot of cash giving, and I see a lot of donations to places like, you know, the Salvation Army, and people aren't always aware about the number of opportunities and different ways they have to give. And sometimes I'll talk about appreciated stock. Mm-hmm. And you hear about people after they've died who sometimes give, you know, land or a home or buildings. What do you have any restrictions on that through the foundation?
We don't. Individuals can establish funds by making gifts of cash, stock, life insurance, real estate, grants from charitable gift funds or retirement plans and IRAs. There are certain guidelines. There are certain things that philanthropists need to know. The Community Foundation stands ready to help and support that. And one of the things that is important to us as a Community Foundation is our what we believe to be is a very good relationship with our professional advisors and our colleagues such as you, Lori, and being able to work with them about how funds can be established and how philanthropy can be utilized through the Community Foundation.
Well, the big benefit about donating appreciated assets, and what always comes to mind for me is appreciated stock, is that you can make this donation and get the deduction at fair market value without having to pay a capital gains tax on it if you were to sell it and give the charity cash. So for someone who might have a really highly appreciated stock, maybe something that, you know, you've had since the beginning of time, and maybe something happened in your life, you know, that you needed someone. Maybe it's a hospital. Maybe, you know, something happened at church, or, you know, it's that college, institution, that college education that really got you through and made you a successful person. And in the past, you just hadn't really thought about giving back in a big way. And maybe now you realize you're having, you know, a midlife crisis, and you realize you want your life to mean something more than, you know, just working every day. And where you have had these appreciated assets, you can make a donation to the Community Foundation. And if your stock, for example, is worth, you know, $50,000, then would the foundation accept a donation of $50,000 for this type of event? So let's pretend you had appreciated stock worth $50,000 and the cost basis was $20,000. Rather than giving $50,000 cash, you could actually transfer that asset to the foundation and get the deduction for $50,000 versus having to sell it and recognize that gain. Now, this is really something that folks should be looking at in 2013 going forward, because now we have something called that Medicare surtax. and it's on net investment income, folks. So if you have had appreciated stock that you're thinking about selling, you write checks every week to your different charities, maybe you don't need to do that anymore. Maybe you want to think about donating appreciated stock because you don't want the investment income on your return that might have that extra tax. So it's just another way to think about giving. We're coming up on a break. When we get back, we'll continue our discussion with Bernie. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Did I say that right? Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
And we are back. The phone number this evening, 610-758-8810. You can call in live with questions about charitable giving in general if you'd like. Tax opportunities, tax saving opportunities, questions about Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, questions if you are a local charity and you want more information. We've talked about that a little bit. The website is lvcfoundation.org for more information, and they're rolling out in a couple weeks a community platform, and it's all about a way to give. And the beauty of this, Bernie Story, who's in the studio with me this evening, is president and CEO of the foundation, talks about a way to give, but also that it is giving back to the community and in a number of ways. It's not just, you know, education, or it's not just, you know, for a hospital. It is for arts, culture, history, education. It's working with the donor or the person who is inclined to be charitably inclined. Mm-hmm. You work with them, and if there's a need in the community or otherwise, but in particular a need in the community, you work together with that donor to talk about what their hopes and dreams are. You know, one thing that comes up, Bernie, is sometimes I'll have folks who will be charitably inclined in their will. You know, they'll mm-hmm. have lots of gifts in their will to certain charities and organizations. And all of a sudden, they may not like that charity anymore. And if they want to change their mind, they have to go to their attorney and have them write a codicil or mm-hmm. rewrite the document. And it gets a little bit messy and maybe a little costly. Now, when we're dealing with the foundation, if you have someone who might be charitably inclined, but they're not sure what the status of that charity is going to be in 10 years, 15 years. An option could be the Community Foundation, because I would imagine you might have an answer to that problem. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, I'll try. I think what makes us different from most other kind of philanthropic tools is that we are exceedingly committed to donor interests, and we're rabid about that. We want to make sure that the donor's original intent is always first and foremost in terms of how that charitable fund is continuing. So when an individual through his or her estate leaves an asset to the Community Foundation and establishes a fund to support organizations, we actually become the sort of watchdog for that donor. And if that community interest or organization is no longer in existence, for example, we will look for some organization that is doing work most similar to what that organization had been doing. So our question is, and always will be, what was the original intent of that donor? So we're really working on behalf of the donor to try and fulfill his or her philanthropic interest well beyond the immediate time.
Okay, and we talked about in the past about is this like a one-time thing only, or do you prefer contributions that will keep on giving?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Sure. To be honest with you, the Community Foundation DNA is permanence. I mean, that's what we're all about. A foundation is in place, Community Foundation's in place to provide an arena where an individual's philanthropy can continue on forever. Our saying is for good, forever, and we try to keep that instilled in the minds of folks who are considering using the Community Foundation as their philanthropic tool. Having said that, we do know that there are individuals who would like to use the Community Foundation as a way to make contributions simply and use the Community Foundation as a way, for example, for them to transfer stock and build the fund, and then throughout the course of the year make decisions about where the grants ought to be. And that's fine, and temporary funds are permitted, and we embrace them. To be honest with you, the reason why I think we're so delighted when an individual wants to establish a temporary fund is that very often they turn into permanent funds. Mm-hmm. And so although our DNA, as I say, is about attracting funds that will be with the Community Foundation and will keep on giving, as you say, we're open to temporary funds as well.
Well, I guess this is part of the education, though. You know, as I'm thinking about this, mm-hmm. as we're sitting here talking, Bernie, maybe part of the education for the listening audience and for those people who are charitably inclined is they may think their only option is to just, you know, give X amount of dollars and be done with it. And the appeal of this is twofold. In my situation where I said we might have a client who has, you know, $1 million going to 10 different charities in their will, part of that appeal might be we might want someone who's going to bird dog it for them or be the watchdog and make sure that those charities still have that same intent or they still exist or whatever. So rather than having to change their will every time they change their mind or a charity, you know, closes their doors, by making a bequest through their will to the Community Foundation, it also does not have to be all spent all at once. And that's education right here in itself, I'm realizing. Some people might love the idea of having a foundation. Can you tell me what that looks like then? Let's pretend, sure, I have someone who has $1 million, mm-hmm. and they're tired of changing their will every other day. So they say, I'm going to give it to the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. They say they want to, or when they die, let's say it's mm-hmm. going to be when they die. You meet with them maybe ahead of time if you're aware of it.
Sure.
You would meet with them. You would say, what is your intent? You'd probably establish some guidelines. Mm-hmm. Are those guidelines established in the will or are those guidelines established separately with you?
Both.
Okay.
We meet with estate planning attorneys, with philanthropists together to discuss what might be the most appropriate way to establish a fund after the philanthropist passes on. And there are other times when we just get the will and we'll take the language from the will and establish a fund agreement to fulfill the wishes of the individual.
Okay. So now you have the $1 million and you're going to follow the wishes of the, you know, donor. Mm-hmm. And let's say they wanted to support education and you're going to make, how do you get that money to that charity? Do they have to ask for it? Do you go identify it? And then when you do that, how is it communicated? If it's the Lori Siebert who does it, I don't have $1 million, but if I did, I always talk about if I win the lottery, I have a whole list of charities and I'm gone now. What does that look like when you go to give the money? So is that too many questions at once?
No, that's okay.
Okay,
I think I can handle it, but I think in order to answer that question, I might have to tell you a little bit more about the different types of funds that people can establish.
Okay.
And I think what we could do is focus on the funds that are established by individuals And talk about the three most popular funds that are established by individuals. The first and most popular is a donor-advised fund. And these are funds that come to the Community Foundation, and on an annual basis, that spokesperson from that fund advises the Community Foundation and makes a recommendation. We'd like our grants to be going to these two organizations or these five organizations. And so what we do is we just wait on an annual basis for the recommendation from that spokesperson, and off we go. In the case of estate planners, obviously that donor's not going to be around anymore. So what we've done is we have the opportunity for folks to establish either designated funds or so-called area of interest funds. And these are fascinating and really interesting ways for philanthropy to be carried out. So an individual will say, I'd like this fund to be set up so that in perpetuity it will support the Boys and Girls Club of Bethlehem, Allentown Symphony, and St. Luke's Hospital, for example. And on an annual basis, grants will be distributed to those three organizations based upon the Community Foundation's spending policy. So instead of just using the earnings, in order to promote growth during robust economic times, in order to guarantee that grants are made during less robust times, we use a spending policy, and so we're able to make those grants. The third type, and the second of the two that are often used in estate planning, is the so-called area of interest fund. And I love these because this is where philanthropists might say, you know, I'm interested in children services, youth services, or I'm interested in animals that need help. We trust you, Community Foundation. You know who's out there. You know what's going on. So you figure out who gets this, but I want it to go to this area. And that requires a little bit more work on the part of the Community Foundation, but I think it's a wonderful way to partner with philanthropists in trying to help them support the organizations they want to support.
So we can make a donation. Mm-hmm. It could be through a donor-advised fund or a designated fund or area of interest. Those
That's right.
are the different ways to give.
Those are three very popular ways that individuals establish funds and make their recommendations about where the support should be going.
Okay. What if you have someone who doesn't have, you know, $100,000 or $1 million, maybe they have $10,000 and they would like to do something. Do you have funds at the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation or a mechanism where they could make that contribution to you and you could still find a home for it?
Yeah, a couple ways to answer that. First of all, you hit the magic number. Unlike other commercial funds or other opportunities for philanthropy, a community foundation has a pretty low minimum for permanent and temporary funds. A fund at the community foundation could be established with $10,000. So right off the bat, an individual might say, well, I want to establish a fund. Even though it's a small fund, it's a fund. And when that happens, that fund is open to all of our donors and all the people that surf our website, and so they become part of the component fund of the Community Foundation. They're one of our mm-hmm. funds, mm-hmm. and that's all awfully nice. But perhaps more to your point, and what I find to be very interesting is there are individuals who we just talked with a couple about 2 weeks ago who wanted to establish a fund with us, and They don't want to make a donor advised fund. They don't want to make any recommendations. They haven't picked one particular area, you know, and they or organization. They said, No, we like what you're doing. So mm-hmm. that when you do your discretionary grant making, mm-hmm. use our fund, take the grants that are coming from the fund and put it into your discretionary grant making.
Yeah.
We have others who do that and say, I'd like it to go to the community fund for education. And so when we make grants in education, that fund will be part of the source of funds to make those discretionary grants.
So that's great. So people, it's almost like a bunch of different donors could actually kind of pool their money
Absolutely.
For you guys to pull from, which is really great. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. I want to mention, when There are donations made to any charity, and the Community Foundation is a little bit different than a charity. You do at your church or your college, your alma mater, and you make a contribution of $1,000. And you get that deduction on your tax return the year you make the donation. We have been talking about how the Community Foundation, I might give $100,000 to the Community Foundation, and they're making grants over a number of years, that feeling of permanence, and it's a way to extend, your giving. But you do get the deduction in the year that you make it. So I just wanted to point that out. You get the deduction in the year you make it. It's, subsequent grants that the foundation is doing after that is not related to when you're making the contribution. And I forgot, Bernie, I think we had one last piece, which we'll come back to, is if I am someone who wants my name on something, or I want that community organization to know I was the one who gave it, I want to talk about what that looks like when we come back. Phone number 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, where definitely it's you, your source for local news and public affairs, NPR, and music diversity. The time now is 6:46 p.m. Now back to our program.
Okay, there's still plenty of time to call with questions if you have any about charitable giving. This is all very interesting. My main goal this evening was to make sure that we give some awareness in our community for the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. We're a community public radio. We serve the community, and so does the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. So I was very excited to see the passion that Bernie has around this, and I could see why, because it is fun to give away money, and that it makes such a difference in our community. You could drive down the road and probably see where it's making a difference. A lot of times people want to be recognized for that, Bernie. So tell me what that looks like, because, when you give your money to the church, they send you a statement, saying you did this, and maybe they put a plaque on the wall, maybe you buy a brick. I don't know. What happens when someone makes a donation to the Community Foundation, and it's that permanence that we have, but over years, you're doing the giving on their behalf. So
we may be giving. That's a really good question, because there are those individuals who come to the Community Foundation because they're philanthropic. First and foremost, they want to give back, or they want to contribute to the quality of life in the Lehigh Valley. But frankly, there's a notion that here's an opportunity for the name, my family name, my son's name, my mother's name, whoever it may be, to be remembered, to be memorialized. And so what happens is a fund is established with whatever name that donor would like to choose. Forever, those grants would be coming from that individual's fund. So when a grant is made, that you as an organization are the recipient of a grant from the Laurie Siebert Fund at the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. So the name is always there. It's in front of the public because of our making the grants. But your question also brings up a really fascinating thing that I really didn't anticipate, having make the transition from higher ed to the Community Foundation. I've learned how a number of very, very generous people enjoy using the Community Foundation for their philanthropy, because it enables them to do so anonymously. So there's both ends, there's both ends of this question. So an individual will establish a fund at the Community Foundation with every intention of making grants, either as a donor advised fund or something like that, but with the notion that it's to be made anonymously, in which case then the grant would read, you're the recipient of a grant from the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. So wow. It's really interesting. It really is.
Now, I don't know if we had covered this, but remind me, if the foundation has discretion, and with the research that you've done and knowing what your mission is for that particular year, whether it's targeting the arts or the sciences or education, you may go out and make some discretionary grants. But people can apply for grants as well. Some of the nonprofits in our area could apply for a grant.
That's right. In terms of discretionary grant making, these are the grants that are made on behalf of all of the donors who've made contributions to the community foundation, and we're able to push into our discretionary grant budget. The vast majority of those grants are made as a result of an application. So we do have an application process, which includes members of the community, not just folks from within the community foundation staff and board, but other members of the community who serve as members of our discretionary grants teams and committees. They'll evaluate applications. We'll do everyone in the community knows what we're looking for, when they're due, and then.
So a college could apply, absolutely. A church could apply?
Absolutely, sure.
Hospital?
Yes.
Great. All good to know. And is information available on the website about that?
It sure
as well?
Is. Yeah.
Some people might say, I give to the United Way, which is another great organization, mm-hmm. and I'm not discounting any nonprofit out there. I like to bring awareness to everyone in the community about everything. And in fact, I've had someone from the United Way. But some people might think, I give to the United Way and that's part of my community. Usually we see that in payroll deduction. I haven't seen that in a big way. Can you talk a little bit about what the difference is between the Community Foundation and the United Way?
I get that question a lot, Lori, and it was one of the first questions I had of the search committee when I was a candidate for the position. I was unclear as to the difference because they're both philanthropic tools. And what I've learned is that, first and foremost, the United Way and the Community Foundation world we are partners in philanthropy. We support each other.
Wonderful.
The most important thing for anybody to recognize is that both the United Way and the Community Foundation work together to try to direct funds to the people that need it most. It's the way we direct funds that makes us different. A community foundation is primarily a tool for permanent giving, while the United Way makes grants to agencies after as everyone knows, an annual campaign. And so mm-hmm. the results of those campaigns then are given out to those organizations on an annual basis. And I with all due respect and my utmost respect for my colleagues at the United Way, I was taught that one way of thinking about the difference between a United Way and a Community Foundation approach to philanthropy is, If the United Way is doing this on an annual basis and writing checks to these organizations, and you could actually think of them, if you will, as a charitable checkbook.
Okay.
The Community Foundation is the retirement account for these charitable organizations.
That's
there's two different approaches. But as an example, we have individuals who have established funds at the Community Foundation that are there to support the United Way.
Wonderful.
So there's no competition. It's really collaboration and cooperation.
Okay, so we talked. Oh, that's great. Thank you for that answer. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the different types of funds. We talked about the donor-advised funds, area of interest. I think you had some other funds, like what about scholarships and awards? Because I know when my daughter was at Parkland High School and it was, the end of the year ceremony, and I think it was the athletic awards, I'd hear people say they got scholarships because of XYZ fund and, whether there was some unfortunate event and maybe parents decided to establish a fund to remember their child. Mm-hmm. So are there some other types of funds that you want to mention? Because we have still about 5-6 minutes left.
Well, there are two types of funds that I could talk to you about in addition to the donor-advised and designated and area of interest funds. These are two of the more popular funds in addition to those. The first would be, as you say, the scholarship fund and the memorial funds. Talk about them sort of as one kind of fund. And unfortunately, one of my, I'm as you could tell, I'm really excited and enthused about what I do for a living. And one of the most difficult parts is dealing with families who want to establish a fund to honor a loved one, a loss, who may have passed away. And I guess I was on the job a few weeks when I encountered a husband and wife whose son had been killed in a car accident, and for years they had a scholarship that they would give to an individual graduating from a local high school. And he came and met with us and simply said that he can no longer do this. It was just too difficult for him to administer the fund, and he just couldn't do it any longer. So we established the fund in his son's name, and every year grants from that fund go to the high school, to the individual with the highest GPA who's a wrestler, for example. So mm-hmm. we're able to stand in for a family when it's kind of difficult for them to do that. Scholarship funds are very popular among community foundations, so we're prepared to do that. The other one, is very interesting. It's called an organizational fund or an organization fund, and these are endowment funds where local community organizations who want to have an endowment, would like a steady stream of income coming from an endowment, but aren't prepared, willing, or ready to have a planned giving officer or a development officer, mm-hmm. or they don't have the wherewithal or interest in investing in these funds to watch them grow.
Or they can't accept appreciated stock because they don't know what they would do with
it. You got it. They could establish their fund with us, and we have a great many of organizations that have their endowment fund with us, and on an annual basis, the fund will kick off through the spending policy, will kick off the grants, and they can use it as they will. And so it's a wonderful way for a charitable organization to partner with the community foundation and also receive the benefit of an endowment.
That's great. Now, we have just a few minutes left, so I just want to wrap up a few comments and get our arms around the basics of working with the community foundation. I want to go back to, again, what you said, a way to give. I love that. It's a way to give. You promote philanthropy, and you want to improve the quality of life in our region. There's permanence. There's a number of different giving opportunities, and it goes across a number of needs in our community, whether it's arts, culture, education, you know, religion, health, lots of different venues that need grant making, etc. People can make gifts to the foundation and help direct what that's going to look like, or local organizations can apply for grants, and the foundation has certain funds set aside for discretionary grant making. So there's a number of different ways to give, and even establishing scholarship funds, and then this organization fund. I think that's something that's really important for folks to know about. And I also like For Good and Forever. So many great buzzwords you had. I was trying to write them all down as we were going along. Can we summarize, Bernie, in the next couple of minutes, what you would like the takeaway to be from tonight? What do you want people to know about the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think it would be my hope and my goal, and I suspect my charge from the Board of Governors, to make sure that enough people, that as many people as possible, understand that if an individual has a philanthropic interest, if someone wants to give, if someone wants to help a charitable organization or wants to improve the quality of life, that there's a different way of doing that through community foundation. We would offer that opportunity for the permanent giving and the giving to spread across a wide variety of charitable interests. So that would be my message, that we're out there. We'd be happy to help serve your interests and the interests of the charitable organizations.
And what I would like to add to that as well is, what an opportunity to do it in such a way that it takes the stress out of someone's decision-making or worry budget about worrying whether the charity that they want to benefit is going to be around, is, you know, going to continue in existence. This is a way to give, and you guys can help make sure that their wishes are carried out and their charitable intent is still being carried out in a way that suits their purposes without them having to worry about their charity going, you know, by the wayside, mm-hmm. or changing names, or maybe they just aren't happy with the direction that the charity has gone. So It's a great way to do it. Bernie, I thank you so much for being here. I want to mention the website again, lvcfoundation.org, lvcfoundation.org, a way to give. Check out the website. And that is for anyone who's charitably inclined, who is thinking about gifts of permanence. That you can do either now while you're alive. You don't have to do it just through your will or your estate. You can do it while you're here. You can do it with, appreciated assets. You can do it with life insurance, we didn't mention. We can do it with IRAs, retirement accounts, etc. So, Bernie, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Laurie. It was a lot of fun.
It was very exciting. So, folks, keep in mind, next week I'm going to have Dave Elowich on the show, and we are going to talk about insurance and the life cycle. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Judy Ann. Thank you, Jeff. Stay tuned for In the Tradition Folk Music with Tom Druckenmiller. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.